And welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 91. And today we're talking about jettison the jargon. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Cut it out. Do away with the jargon from your lessons. Now, if you're privileged enough, as I am often, to teach and preach the gospel, to be able to use this amazing book to bring God's message to people, then one of the things that we need to do is get rid of as much jargon as we possibly can from our lessons. And I think it's a challenge because once you've been doing this a while, you get to use the same phrases time and time again. And also we get into a context sometimes where we're with people we know who understand our jargon, at least most of them do, and we don't understand the significance of the barrier that jargon can create for those who aren't part of our circle. Now, a year ago or so, I was listening to a video by a chap called Donald Miller, who runs StoryBrand. Very interesting chap. Good book I'm reading of his, and some very interesting videos. I'd encourage you to look them up to help you with understanding the issue of story. But he said one of their taglines, if you like, or their slogans in their company is, if you confuse, you lose. If you confuse, you lose. Now, there are lots of things that can cause confusion in our audience when we're speaking, but one of them is the overuse of jargon. Phrases, catchphrases, words, and ideas that are understandable to yourself and perhaps even to the majority present. But for those who are fresh, new in the church or are visiting your congregation or who are investigating Christianity, jargon is a real problem. Now, it is true that you can't avoid confusing some people. When we teach the truth, it can be confusing. We see this with Jesus. He certainly confused people. The Apostle Paul confused people. It's okay to confuse people, but it should be for the right reason, that our message is causing a sense of disturbance rather than the wording we use. In John chapter 10, very interesting thing we see about Jesus here. So he's talking to the Pharisees, a group who he quite frankly often confused and disturbed. And he talks about being the gatekeeper, opening the gate, the sheep listening to his voice. When he's brought them out, he goes on ahead of them, the sheep follow him, they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. And Jesus, it says, used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. They were confused. And what does Jesus do because of that confusion, this image that he's using of being the gate, the great shepherd? And then Jesus says, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. And he goes on to explain further. And then they get more of the point. So even Jesus, even when he confused people, he would tell them a bit more. But it wasn't to do with the language he was using. It wasn't to do with jargon. It was just to do with the image. So if we're going to confuse people, let's do it for the right reason. But jargon is a bad reason. There's enough for people who come to church, especially where I live in this country, in the United Kingdom, so few people are familiar with coming to a church service that if someone comes in who has no background in the Bible, the Christian faith, or what church is like, then there are enough things to confuse them already without me using jargon. When to stand up, when to sit down, what is singing about, why do we sing, what is prayer, what is this thing called the Bible? All of these things are confusing enough. What about the jargon? Now, I want to give us a few illustrations of this, and then I'd like to ask you what you think are key jargon words or phrases or concepts to avoid the best that we can. I don't think we'll avoid all of them all the time, and I know, as much as I have a conviction about this, I still slip into this plenty of times, so I'm not trying to cast the first stone here, but just to wake us up to the significance of this. So, for example, I heard somebody recently say that they were doing the welcome. Now, in my tradition of church services, after a few songs, we have someone stand up to welcome everybody. But this person stood up to say, I'm here to do the welcome. Well, to somebody who's visiting, what is the welcome? In fact, it doesn't even accurately describe what that person is doing. They're not here to do the welcome. They're standing up to welcome people. The welcome isn't really a thing. It's welcoming and then praying, which is the point. So the welcome doesn't mean anything. It's just a label. Similarly, the communion. Often people stand up to say, I'm here doing the communion. What is the communion? Again, to someone visiting our congregation, they don't know what the communion is. Better to stand up and say, I'm here now to talk about what Jesus did for us on the cross. Let's get into the point of it. Rather than the communion, the Eucharist is even a more difficult word, I think, for people who visit us. But anyway, that's another one. What about, oh yes, in my congregations, we often do something which people call the Hope Talk. And that's a talk where people talk about Hope Worldwide, a charity we love to support, or about helping the poor and the needy. But again, the Hope Talk doesn't mean anything to someone who's visiting. And in fact, it's not a helpful phrase. I'm not here to do the Hope Talk. I'm here to talk about Hope Worldwide, or I'm here to talk about the attitude Jesus had towards the poor and the needy. Let's leave out that phrase, the Hope Talk, or the poor talk. Again, doesn't really mean anything to a visitor. So the welcome, the communion, the Hope Talk, another word I think is difficult. Now, it's a very valuable word, but a difficult word for people who visit is disciple. I don't think we should not use that word. It's in the Bible and it is meaningful in the right context. But I've so often, I'm sure I've said it myself, but I so often hear people talk about the fact that before I was a disciple, I da 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 da, or I became a disciple. It, again, to a visitor, that doesn't mean anything. You can be a disciple of all kinds of things. Wouldn't it be better to say, before I started to follow Jesus, or before I came to believe in Jesus, or before I came to understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, I know this is more wordy, but it makes more sense. And I'd rather use 5 words to make sense than 1 jargon shortcut word that makes no sense, because then I've got to explain it. Before I became a disciple, oh, by the way, which means before I started to follow Jesus Christ. Just say it as it is the first time. Before I started to follow Jesus. And before I understood, then you could talk about what it means to be a disciple, but not before I became a disciple. Disciple is a difficult word. Let's use it, but in the right way. Similarly, the world is another phrase that's quite often used in our speaking. The world says this, the Bible says that, but what is the world? Again, to someone like you and I, we may understand that, but to someone who's visiting and doesn't understand these concepts, the world, what does he mean? The globe, the earth, the something to do with the geophysical environment. It's shortcut and it means something to me, but not necessarily to my hearer. Better to say something like the values that Jesus taught are quite different from the values that we see on Twitter or in the news or in our newspapers or on the TV soaps. Use a different phrase, not the world. And you could then say we can use a shorthand term for that, meaning the world, and of course that is in the Bible, but it needs to be put in the right context. So those are some of my favourites or least favourite jargon words. What about yours? I would like to know. Could you leave a comment? Put a list of your favourite, least favourite jargon words in the comment box wherever you hear or see this recording. Let's leave these comments. Let's comment on what I'm talking about here. How do we best avoid using jargon? Without getting tongue-tied and all worried and anxious about it, but what do we do? How can we make this, how can we make our sermons as best we can a jargon-free zone for the benefit of those who don't share in our inner circle? I'd like to know your ideas. And finally, one last thing. Could you please pass on the link to this video or this audio to one other person? Just pass it on to one other person. Okay, my friends. Let's jettison the jargon so that we don't confuse. Because when we confuse, we lose. But when we confuse our hearers, they lose. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.